Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning at Shari. Thank you to all for rearranging their schedules to meet with us this evening because it is early Yom Gimel. Of course, Adar, tomorrow night is the night of Megillah. Unbelievable. Tomorrow night is the night of Purim. What do I hear?
Somebody else's phone.
Okay, we are learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezecha Nishmas Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hasham, her Neshama should have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So I did want to start with an Amuna insight of Rav Biederman before we went. Should I do that before we go to the Sefer? I want to start with an insight of Rav Elimelech Biederman related to Purim, but it's also related to Amuna. Specifically, an insight of his related to Amuna, since our class is on Amuna. So Rav Yechiel of Ostrovitzi. Listen, this is very important. The ability to recognize Hashem in retrospect, the ability to recognize Hashem after the fact, hindsight is 20/20, is given even to Gentiles. Even Gentiles can recognize God after the fact. How so? The Pasuk says in the Megillah, it's Perek Chas Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'rabim me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim, ki nafal pachad ha'yehudim aleihem. At the end of the Megillah, after the story, and Esther's Jewish, and everybody's saved, and the Jews are taking revenge, the Pasuk says, many of the ame ha'aretz, which is usually translated as Gentiles of the land, were mityahadim, or misyahadim, they were becoming Jewish, because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Looking back, says Rav Biederman, I'm going to come back to this pasuk and tell you after what the Yalkut Ma'am Lo'i says, but looking back, they were able to see the miracles. They were able to recognize Hashem. When were they able to see God? When they turned around and they saw Hashem. But a Jew is on a much higher level. When did Mordechai and Esther realize that know Hashem and recognize Hashem and see Hashem? Even before the Yeshua, Mordechai and Esther were astutely aware that God was with them well before the salvation. When did Rabbi Me'ame Ha'aretz see the Yeshua? After. A Jew is on a much higher level. He can believe in Hashem even before the puzzle is finished, when he still doesn't know why. The Altar of Slobodka Zatzal would say, when the Rambam omits a halacha from his Sefer Yad HaChazaka, so scholars remain perplexed. They stay up all night. Why would the Rambam omit the halacha from the Gemara? He didn't make a mistake. There's a reason he omitted the halacha, and they want to understand why he omitted the halacha. So the Altar of Slobodka says, when Hashem seems to have left something essential out from your life, health, chalila, parnasa, chalila, why do we think it's an error? We realize that everything should be done for a purpose. The Rambam didn't leave out a halacha by accident. He left it out on purpose. So if we struggle to understand the why of the Rambam, when we realize it's not an accident, so shouldn't we understand that what Hashem does is for a purpose? It means we didn't need that peace in our life. Oh, we think we need the peace in our life? No, you didn't need the peace in our life. The Bnei Yisachar explains something I found very impactful in this teaching. Amuna means to believe in Hashem specifically during times of Hester Panim, during times when God's presence is concealed, during difficult times. Because during times of Gilui Shechina, which means when God's presence is revealed in overt times of miracles, that's not Amuna, that's knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know it, you see it, you experience it.
Exactly. That's it. He's going to bring a pasuk, exactly what you said, from when the Jews are in the desert. But I'm going to repeat this. Amun is to believe in Hashem specifically during times of Hester Panim, which means when God's presence or kindness, so to speak, is concealed, during times of din, difficult times, times you can't see clearly the rachamim, the mercy of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because when there are miracles, it's not called amunah, it's pashut knowledge. This is the explanation of the pasuk, says the Bnei Yisachar. The pasuk says in Devarim, in the past parak alf, b'midbar hazah, and in this desert, asher ra'is, asher nasacha Hashem elkecha, kasher yis, you saw, right? Isa, that God carried you, like a father carries his son. In this desert, in this wilderness, you saw God carries you like a father carries his child. And the next pasuk says, "Ubamidbar hazeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem elokeichem." In this wilderness, you don't have a moon and Hashem your God. So we usually take that as one of Moshe's tochachas. In Bamidbar, Moshe gave us a lot of rebuke. So Moshe was saying, "You saw God was carrying you, and you didn't believe in Hashem." But how would the Bnei Yisachar explain this? Based on what we just said. What does it mean? Moshe's not giving them tochacha. He says, you saw God was carrying you in this desert, and you didn't believe in Hashem. You didn't have amuna. What was Moshe saying? He's not giving them tochacha. He's saying
how weird it was that you saw everything, you experienced it.
Because you experienced it, we can't say you had amuna, you had yediyah. Okay, I'm going to repeat it. V'nei Yisachar teaches. Okay, I'm going to repeat it because this is very fundamental. Amuna is faith in God, specifically during times of Hester, Panim, Hester, where they want to kill, destroy, annihilate, and exterminate all the Jews, and Mordechai and Esther still believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Amuna. Shani pointed out something very, very nice to me. And it says when we first meet Mordechai and Esther, welcome. It says, it's Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. First, Perek Beis Pasuk Hei introduces Mordechai to us. He was exiled after Churban Bais Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Babel. Vayihi Omein Es Hadassa, he Esther Bas Dodo. How did he raise her? Aleph Mem Nun. In what way did he raise her? He infused within her Amuna, which we can apply to this var. She was specifically a woman who is Esther, who was raised during, who lived during a time of Hester. Panim the Gemara in Chulin, of course, famously says 139b that Esther lived in a time of Hester. Panim Esther mina Torah minayim anochi Esther Esther panayim ikem bayama. Who God says my face is concealed. Vayihi omein esadasa he Esther bastodo. God gave her the koach to persevere, to maintain her faith in God even during times of Hester panim, the way she was raised. Vayihi omein aleph mem nun. She was raised with emuna, and it fortified her for the times ahead. Very nice, Shani. Thank you. So the B'nai Yisachar teaches, emuna is to believe in Hashem specifically during hidden times. Because when it's miracles, when it's overt, when it is obvious that God is running the show, sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's in, that's not emuna, that's knowledge. Now let's go back to this pasuk that we're trying to understand. In this wilderness, you saw God, you saw manna from heaven, you saw water from a rock, you saw victory over a mouth, you saw a sea split, you saw the revelation at Sinai, you saw God. Davar hazeh einchem ma'aminim b'Hashem elokeichem. So now he's saying, in this matter, you didn't have emunah. What did you have? Yedia. You can't say in this matter, in these 40 years, you had emunah. It was so obvious that God was taking care of you. You had yedia. You had knowledge of God. Emunah is specifically, vayihi omein es hadasa, he Esther, when it's hidden. That's when you can believe in Hashem. The B'nai Yisachar explains, Moshe was telling them, the awareness of Hashem they had in the desert wasn't emunah. It was yedia. It was knowledge. Hashem's presence was so obvious, no one could deny it. It was such a clear fact. No one could say that there's not water in here. It's not a moon. If I tell you sitting at this table, this is a very good mashal, a nimshal. If I tell you sitting at this table, every one of you who could Baruch Hashem could see, we said Baruch Bokechim this way. If I tell you there's water in this table, do you believe me? You believe in me that there's water? Or do you know that there's water on your own? You know. If I tell someone, I call someone on the phone, I wouldn't do that, I would text someone, and I would say, you know, I have a bottle of water, it's not empty, it's full of water. They are having emuna, that they're not in the room, now they don't think I'm a liar, but they have emuna that there's water in the bottle. Why? They can't see it for themselves, so they have to believe that what I'm speaking is true, even though it's hidden from them. It's such a good mashal nimshal, it's so clear like this, we understand. They have to believe, why? It's totally hidden. They don't know. There's water in the bottle. We know. So Moshe said, "Uba midbar zeshe ra'isa." You saw the water in the bottle. You saw the water from the rock. You saw food from heaven. God's carrying you. It's so clear. You can't call that emuna. But davar hazainchem ma'aminim, says the B'nai Yisachar. What does it mean they didn't have emuna? They had yedia. They had knowledge. Just like not one person here will say there's not, there is water. Do you believe me that there's water? Or do you see and therefore know that there's water? You see and therefore know. And if I text someone who's in my house and I say I have water, they might say, okay, mommy's not a liar, but they still believe because it is hidden. It's Hester. It's Esther from them. It's unbelievable psha. It was knowledge because Hashem's presence was evident. Amuna is to believe in Hashem, says Reb Biederman, even when you don't understand. And that's something that all of us, in every time, whether in the times of Shushan Abira or in our times, Chaman Atzan, everyone can relate to you. You're waiting to say something.
You were saying about Yedia. Is it only referring to the Jewish nation or is it referring to everybody? Your Yedia and your Amalek?
He's explaining that we started off by saying that the Umos Olam see God in retrospect. At the end of the day, the Gentiles look back and they say, oh wow, look, there's God. We could see it now in retrospect. The Jew can see God while he's going through it, even though the Ribbono Shel Olam is hidden. With these ideas, we can explain another meaning in the words of the Mishnah. So Maseches Megillah Yud Zayin, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, HaKore Es HaMegillah lemafreya lo yotze. One who reads the Megillah backwards is not yotze the mitzvah. So you can start in Perek Yud and go to chapter 10 and go to chapter 9 and all the way to chapter 1. The Chazal specifically say, Hakoreis haMegillah lemafreya lo yotze. One who reads it backwards is not yotze. But mafreya, arpa, switch around mafreya. That's interesting. It means backwards, and you have to switch around the letters to get to the back of the neck. Mafreya is arpa, backwards. Pei resh ayin, ayin resh pei is orif, the back of the neck. One who reads it backwards. So read mafreya backwards and you get to the back of the neck. That's right. Orif, so mafreya is pei resh ayin. Orif is ayin resh pei. When you read mafreya backwards, you get to the back of the neck. So what's this idea of reading from the back or the back of the neck or in a backward fashion? So first of all, the halacha is if you read it backwards, you're not yotzei. It's according to Pasha Psha. If you read the Megillah backwards, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, Megillah. But Rabbi Binyamin brings a level of drash here. In the Megillah, we praise Hashem for the miracles He performs for us. There are people who only praise Hashem in retrospect. At the end of the day, they turn their neck and they say, "Oh, it's a miracle. I see the whole picture. It's all clear." That's backwards. They wait till the end of the story. If everything works out, they say, there's a God, Mafreya, Arpa, Oref. I'm sure if they turn the neck and they say, look, there's Hashem. In retrospect, they look back in their lives. Everything was for my benefit. The Mishnah says, Lo Yotze. Praising Hashem in this mode is not sufficient. Rather, while going through hard times, that's when we praise Hashem, because that's Amuna. And it fits in so beautifully with what you pointed out about Vayihi Omein Es Hadasa, He Esther Bastodo. What infused her with the ability to remain faithful in the difficult times was really the Masorah passed on to her by Mordechai, the God of Hadar. He raised her with Amuna, and therefore she was able to maintain that Amuna for her whole life. Rather, while going through our times, praise Hashem. You don't understand, says Rabbi Yirmid, but you believe it's for your benefit, and you can praise Hashem even now. And that's the difference between us and Umas Ha'olam. They turn their neck at the end of the day, and they say, there's God. I see. Must be a miracle. Although even then sometimes, remember you said you were watching, they rescued that baby from the mudslide, and you said you kept waiting for them to say, it's a miracle or something, at least thank God. And they didn't say. I wanted to quote from Henny Machus. Wait. One second, please. So Yehoshua's story, speaking about his mother. People ask me, who was your mother? If I had to describe her, I would quote from Tehillim. Hashleich al Hashem Yehavecha v'hu yikal kalecha. Cast your burden upon God and He will sustain you. That's who my mother was in every area. And this is why I brought this specific piece to you now. Not just when she got sick. Most people, when something goes wrong, then they throw their burden on Hashem. Then they discover Hashem. They have no other way out. To quote the well-known idiom, there are no atheists in a foxhole. But my mother, even things were going well, she would always depend on Hashem for everything. So the Jew has a unique ability. In good times, you turn to Him. In difficult times, you turn. We don't draw a distinction. There's no backwards from this time and forwards. And then it's just all time. We're always with Hashem. During the time when she was sick, she would say, Hashem, You're the doctor. You will make me feel better. You're going to make the treatment go well. She would say this for every injection and every chemotherapy. And she would say, Hashem, thank you. And I would ask her, Ima, thank you for what? Thank you for everything you've given me, she said to God. Thank you for the cancer, but I've had enough. Take it back. Her whole view of sickness was, Hashem, this is a very, very high madriga. But remember we said we need to learn to be inspired and to at least know where we're going. But remember I told you, my brother told me a beautiful vart. The compass is pointing north. But you're never really going to be in the north. So why is the compass point north? I don't think I'm ever going to be at the northernmost point on the globe. I don't believe so in my whole life. You never know. But I don't think I'm going to be in the North Pole. So why is the compass pointing north? I'm never going to be in the north. Because you should always be striving. You should know what direction you're headed in. So Hani was on a different level. Allah Shams Chusa. Yagin Aleinu, Tagin Aleinu. Thank you for everything you've given me. Thank you even for the cancer, honey would say. But I've had enough. Take it away. Her whole view of sickness was, Hashem wants me to be closer to Him. That's why He's giving me this pain. In other words, this is a person who is not Pori the Megillah Mafreya. She's not someone who read the Megillah backwards. At the end of the day, Rabbi Me'ameha, Eretz Misyahadim. At the end of the day, they say, now we see God. That's not the Jewish approach. The Jewish approach is as soon as we meet Esther and Mordechai, he's an Ish Yehudi. That's the first thing we know about him. He's a Jew. And he was a proud Jew. The Medrash says he would walk through the streets of Shushan with his talis and tefillin on. He didn't cover up who he was. And she was raised with Amunah. Vayihi Omen, it could have used any different lashon. He infused her with Amunah. We have the Amunah right from the beginning, even in a hidden time. Hashem wants me to be closer to him, Henny would say. That's why he's giving me this pain. She was never concerned about tomorrow in any field. It's unbelievable. In health, finances, she was not concerned about tomorrow. Pasuk says, Tamim Tia im Hashem el Kacha. And Rashi says, you should be pure with Hashem your God. Or pure, what's Tamim? Complete, pure, it's a word that shouldn't be translated. Complete, pure, simple, wholesome, but not simple in a negative way. Right, so it's like this purity or simplicity or very pure quality. So Rashi says there, what does it mean, tamim tia mishal kach? You should be tamim, pure or wholehearted or simplistic with God, but not in a negative way, a positive way. So Rashi says, shelo lachkar achar ha'asidos. You don't need to worry so much about the future. Don't delve into the future. Kol ma sheyavo elecha, kabel b'tmimus. Everything that comes upon you, accept with tmimus. Ve'az eyeimo ulechalko. And then you'll be for him in first portion. You know how madrigalist is? Because just recently I was worried about something. In a little bit in the future, but like really worried. I was genuinely concerned, worried about something in the future. And I kept telling myself this Rashi over and over again in my head. Because when you're really going something where you're really worried about the future, such a high madrega. It's an unbelievably hard nisayon to say, lo lachkar al hasidus. I'm not going to dig for the quest of the future. Anything that comes upon me, I accept. I live today with purity, with simplicity, with wholeheartedness. Then your first portion, Yeshua says, quote, I don't know if it's Rabbi Yeshua, please forgive me, Yeshua Mecha says, she was never concerned about tomorrow. Not in regard to health, not in regard to finances. You mentioned to me in the beginning that you started off the day realizing that what you thought was a bad day was just an annoyance. Henny, when she had a bad day, she would say it was really a good day. And then she would say, tomorrow will be a better day. Quote, did my mother have questions of faith? One word, never. No one in our family did. Vayihi omein es hadasa, because amuna, omein, was ingrained in us. Everyone in our family had struggles in various ways. But doubts, never. And it's a unique ability that we have to see God in the here and now. It doesn't mean you don't daven for change. We have to make that very clear. Henny said, thank you, now take it away, it's enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you don't daven. We do daven, of course we daven for change. Otherwise, no one would daven to change their nisayon or their situation ever. And that's not who we are. We don't believe in that. Teshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, ma'avir, israel, xeira. We believe if someone needs a refu, if someone needs shalom bais, if someone needs parnasa, if someone needs a shirach, if someone needs nachas within, internal menuchas and nefesh, they daven. But at the same time that you're davening for change, it's an acknowledgement that right now, it's from Hashem. That's very, very unbelievable, Majega, and that was evident. That's what allowed Esther to persevere. It was the Omenes Hadassah, Esther, it was the Amunah that she was raised with, gave her the ability, even during Hester Panim, to know it was from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Mordechai says to her. Imachareish tacharishi be'ezezoz, ravech v'atzala yamod la'yehudim mimakom acher. He said, God will save us. I know that there's a God who's very, very involved, even though we can't see him. And he will save us. I just said that I want to say what the Yalkut Me'am Lo'i says, different pshat and very beautiful. I heard this brought down by Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, two Shavuos ago, I believe. And he quotes the Yalkut Me'am Lo'is. And the Yalkut Me'am Lo'is says, Rabbi Me'ame Ha'aretz Mityahadim, or Rabbi Me'ame Ha'aretz Mityahadim, or the masses were converting because the fear of Jews fell upon them. So Yalkut Me'am Lo'is says something so brilliant. An Am Ha'aretz is not only a term to describe the people of the land or gender. What's also an Am Ha'aretz?
It's a Jewish person that's ignorant, maybe?
Yeah, correct. It refers to a Jewish person who is not striving or growing or learning, who's ignorant. So the Yalkut Me'am Lo'is tells over, Rabbi Me'ame Ha'aretz Misyahadim, Kinafa Pachad Yehudim Aleihem, who was coming back to Judaism? The Jews. All those Jews who party, the Mishnah, Medrash describes it very, very clearly. I've quoted other Shiurim this year, some of them are online. The Medrash describes very clearly. Mordechai said, don't go to the party. It's not for your benefit. They went, they ate, They drank, they made themselves impure. All those Amei Haaretz, Messiah Hadim, were undergoing this change where they understood that the Ribbono Shel Olam was in charge. Of course, we have to strive to understand it before and not after the fact and live in a certain way. That was very powerful. Questions or comments? Yes?
Just, I heard something related to what you were saying, that the Jews during, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim, they saw all these great nisim, and then like right after, right around the time of Amalek, they're saying, they were thirsty, they were fighting with Moshe, and they were saying, Hamavi Ein Hashem Bekarbeinu, and how did that happen? Because the whole thing of Amalek was that they were trying to insert doubt and show that the Jews didn't have that connection, you know? And the fact that they were fighting, that connection between the Jews and Hashem, they didn't even think, they were just complaining, they didn't think that they could daven for water.
Change.
Right, but they weren't... They were removing that connection that the Jews were not davening. They were like, okay, if you don't have it, what's the next step? Daven to Hashem to give us water. But the thing about Amalek is that they were trying to...
Amalek was trying to sever our connection.
But
I just thought of something very interesting. Because you brought Yetzias Mitzrayim, followed immediately by how are we complaining? We just got to Mara and already were screaming at Moshe. We should have just died. There's no water. I just thought of something, which is where I thought you were going. Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't really a muna. According to B'nai Yisachar, quoted by Rav Eli Melech Biderman, we would say Yetzias Mitzrayim was Yediyah. The Makos were revealed miracles. Makos B'choros was clearly revealed. So when they come to Anisayon, they're not on the level of understanding even what a moon is, because their whole experience with God is one of Yediyah. So now they come to lack of water, and that means Yediyah is gone. And now Amalek attacks. So Yediyah is gone. So they're not even sure what to do, because their foundation, Yetzias Mitzrayim, was revealed miracles. They knew because they saw that there was water. Not because someone told them. Not because they had to believe. Not because it was hidden. It was clearly revealed. Ha ha, water. Get it? So now they come to, there's no water. So their Amuna is lacking. Why is their Amuna lacking? Because the foundation is Yediyah, not Amuna. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I know, you were trying to say something else, but I know.
A different direction with that. It was more about like the whole concept of like, and the Simcha of Purim is the Simcha of removing the Sfeikos, that even when there is Hester Panim, the idea that you understand that God is there behind
so
the
scenes. So that's really what the sources that we're looking at are saying.
That's the whole rooting out of the Amalek, you know, within us.
Oh, I see. Amalek, Haman, Mizar. Amalek tried to root out that connection. Very nice. Right. Yes, I was bringing up another point, which occurred to me when you said that. Very nice. By the way, just because you said they didn't realize that they could daven, so I once heard a psha, I can't remember who quoted, and I wasn't planning to say this today at all, but in Chukas, what was so bad about what Moshe did? He was supposed to speak to the rock. Right? There's many different opinions, by the way, as to exactly what his sin was. Okay. But dafka there, Hashem says, Yana shalo ha'amantem bilak tisheni. God says to Moshe, you didn't have amuna in bilak tisheni. I think it's the Netziv. But again, I was not prepared, and I wasn't planning to say it, so it might not be the Netziv, who says... What was really Moshe's downfall? It was an opportunity to teach them about tefillah. They're going into the land, and Moshe's not going to be with them. And they have to know whatever they need from Hashem, they can daven. Moshe was supposed to speak, i.e., daven for Yeshua. And he took the stick and he hit it. He missed the boat. He didn't teach them the lesson. Through the power of tefillah, you can affect miracles. Okay, yes.
So I just thought of something based on what you were just talking about, that the Dor HaMidbar that came out of Mitzrayim, they had Yediyah, they didn't really have a moon, it wasn't cultivated. And when they got the Torah, it was Kofin Alehin Harkagigas. The Torah was given not out of Amunah, it was kind of forced on them. And that at times of Esther, that was Hester Panim, and they had a Amunah, and that was when they were Kimu V'Kiblu, that was when they were really Mechabal Machashamayim with.
We accepted the Torah.
So it was almost like a tikkun for the Dor HaMidbar. They couldn't.
Very nice. Well, we're coming to the conclusion. Our understanding is based on the Bnei Yisachar and Rav Eli Melech Biderman, that the generation of the wilderness who accepted the Torah by coercion, the Gemara says that God held the mountain over like a bathtub and said, if you accept it, good. If not, here will be your burial place. They really accepted through Yediyah. Yediyah is a lower level. It's not hard to believe that there's water in this bottle. If you could all see there's water in this bottle. But if you believe what someone else experiences, even when it's hidden from you. So that's a hard, again, this is a mashal with a nimshal, okay? It's a parable with a explanation. Let's finish this. That's emuna. Ani ma'ami. That's not yediyah. That's emuna. Because we're in such times of hester panim. It's one national tsar, even if it's a few years in between, of some tranquility. That's ani ma'ami be'emuna shleim b'vias HaMashiach. We have to have total emuna through all the hester panim. But wait. So let's just review what Shani's saying. So the couple with what Ali Sheva is saying, based on B'nai Yisachar and the Valley Melech Bidermim, the Dar HaMidbar accept the generation of the wilderness accepted the Torah through the vehicle of Yediyah, knowledge of God. Everything was clearly revealed. God was right there. The Baal Turim says, Bereishis 2:12, Avanim Tovos Umargolios Yardu Imayam, Im Haman. I mean, there were pearls and gems and food falling from heaven, and the rock flowed in streams to their tents. There were like rivulets. Rivulets, is that the right word? Rivulets running from the walk down to their tents in paths. I mean, there was total yediyah. So they accepted the Torah. But it's not so hard to accept the Torah when everything is so clear. What choice do you really have? That really helps us understand that they didn't have bechira to accept the Torah. It's not that God forced them. It was so obvious that they couldn't even not accept it. We come to Esther and Mordechai and the Jews of Shushan. Kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem va'al-zaram. The Jews accepted upon them on their children. Va'al-kol nivilim aleihem. And the Gemara says, Masechah Shabbos peiches. Kimu masha kiblu kfar. It's funny, Bob, because I have a note here that I was just going to skip over. Kimu masha kiblu kfar. We accepted in the time of Mordechai and Esther. This is Tagashmak for it, ladies. Thank you. We accepted in the time of Mordechai and Esther by willingness. What's the word I'm looking for? In the time of Mordechai and Esther, we accepted the Torah
by choice.
Thank you. Whereas in the time of Dar HaMidbar, it wasn't that Bechira was taken away from us, but if something's so obvious, you don't really have a choice. It was Yediyah. It's so clear. Could you choose not to believe there's water in here? Unless I'm some magician who does illusionary tricks. You don't even have a choice. Is there water in here or not? Do you have a choice between yes or no? There's no choice. There's water in this bottle. You see, you have Yediyah. What we accepted without Bechira, Kaf Aleim Har Kigis, it's so interesting that it's like a bathtub. That feels a bath of water. Okay. What we accepted with lack of choice through Yediyah in the time of Dar HaMidbar, we accept through choice because it's no longer Yediyah, it is Emunah. Because it was hidden. And yet, Vayhi Omein es Hadassah, he Esther Bastodo Ke'en La'av Va'im. Because he reared Esther with Amunah, he and Esther were able to infuse two named Jews in hundreds of thousands of nameless Jews. They were able to infuse an entire people with the necessary Amunah to accept the Torah through Amunah, not through Yediyah. Very nice. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Kimu Masha Kibu Far. Beautiful. Yes, anything else? So putting those sources together, I'll tell you one interesting thing that emerges. So the Megillah says, this is what I was going to skip, but since you brought up Kimu Masha Kibu Far, now I guess I'll go to it. So the Megillah says, the Kibel HaYehudim, talking about Kibel, the Jews accepted, Kibel HaYehudim es asher heichelu la'asos. Heichelu means the Jews accepted what they had begun to do, and what Mordechai wrote upon them. But heichelu, the root of what they had begun to do, what's heichelu? What's the root of heichelu? Hey, what?
Started,
but what else does it mean? Hey, ches, lamed, vav. Chol. Profane, chol. So, it's 9:23. I just lost my place. Kibel ha-Yehudim, once again the word kibel, the Jews accepted as asher heichelu la'asos. It's almost like a double meaning of heichelu, and it's a play on words. In the beginning of the Megillah, heichelu la'asos, they were profaned. In the beginning, heichelu la'asos, they were chol. Towards the end of the Megillah, kibel ha-Yehudim, they accepted to be kadosh once again. They accepted to come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam as they accepted the Torah. Okay, any questions or comments? Bless you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehi HaBedvaro. Questions or comments? So with all of that, the next section is going to be very interesting. Beginning, ladies, page 100 in the second sefer. beginning during peaceful periods. Okay, so this is very interesting. What he's going to say now is that we need to begin this avoda during tranquil or easier or quiet times. There's more. You want to say?
I'm listening.
Are you eating grapefruit candies? They were so good, by the way. Beginning during peaceful periods. We must emphasize an important point here. I'm on page 100, towards the bottom. Do not focus at first on situations where there are problems or distractions. Isn't that interesting? As you're coming to increase your emunah, don't set yourself up for failure. For example, a person might be home. He hears a terribly loud crash. He looks around. An expensive object has fallen and shattered. Naturally, a normal person will get agitated and angry. It fell, it broke. What are you going to start saying right away? Who broke it? How did that happen? Who left it so close to the edge of the counter? Why is it on the floor? The truth is, one who lives with real emunah will find the stronger his emunah in such situations, the weaker his anger and his rage. So there's an inverse relationship between negative midos and emunah. The more emunah you have, why are you smiling? Did this just happen in your house?
It happened to me not too long ago, and it was very painful.
Say it again.
It happened to me not too long ago. It was very painful, and it was a struggle because I was really upset with
very nice.
The person who broke this heirloom. And it was a struggle. It was a real struggle with him.
I find it so amazing when I'm learning something. I'm like, he's talking to you. Like, I find it amazing when, like, I'm going through something. Like, the Mechaber is talking to me. This is, so you could relate, and it very well, it just happened. The truth is, one who lives with real emunah will find the stronger emunah in such situations, the weaker is anger and rage. He knows it was not his son, or the strong wind that broke the object. By the way, I don't think that's such a good comparison. I'll tell you why. If it's a strong wind that broke the object, you know it's right away Hashem himself. Who are you going to be angry at? The wind? You're going to scream at the wind? But if it's another person, it's easier to perceive that it's the person's fault and not Hashem. That's why I'm saying not his son or the strong wind that broke the object. If it's the wind, you know automatically that was Min HaShemayim. You say, well, no one knocked it off the counter. It had to be. Hashem didn't want me to have it anymore for whatever reason. When it's a person, we feel that there's someone to blame. It's wrong. Excuse me, it's a misperception, but that's the reality of human beings. But the fact that you said it's a struggle is very beautiful, Shani, because some people wouldn't even have a struggle. They wouldn't even have the struggle. They would lash out automatically. At least the struggle indicates you know the right way, even though it's very hard. Yeah.
I mean, I think of this as like a metaphor for everything. Like, I think human beings naturally, like, you look at the negative, you don't, like, you don't sit around and say, well, you know, nothing bad happened today. This is a great day. Like, you always notice things, whether it's something broken or some, you know, just some other stressor in your life. Like, that could take up a lot of space. I think, to me, what, you know, the point here is more like, the point is not about, it's not like a, you know, something where you hear a terribly loud noise, but you tend to focus more on the negative things in your life and let them take up a lot of, you know, a lot of mind space.
It's human nature.
Right, I think that's what we do.
So it's good when you get older, you get wiser, and you know that you're doing that, and you dafka work on not doing that. And filling your day with being thankful.
And not focusing on the negative.
I have a book. Every night I add to it what I'm thankful for. Because when I was younger, oh my God, was I tired. I was just, you know, I had Baruch Hashem, a very full life. Many, many children. And it's a struggle not to fly off the handle. I mean, I told you not to play ball in the house. I mean, how much more obvious can that get? So that it broke, I'm going to go, thank you Hashem that you made him break my whatever crystal item. Of course, I almost killed him. You know, and then, of course, I'm angry at myself the rest of the evening, and you carry around that negative.
But I mean, what I'm saying is, even if it's something that's not just a one-time broken object, but there could be some situation
daily stressors
in your life that's negative, right, that you say, like...
Yeah, we tend to focus more on the negative than the positive.
And those things are also from Hashem. If you would say, like, I'm supposed to have this difficult kid, this whatever it is, you know... It's not the wind that blew it in, you know. Right?
Like, you're right.
I would have done this or should have done that or, you know, those kinds of things.
Yes, you're right. Because look at the next sentence. It is obviously very difficult to maintain such equanimity in a highly stressful situation. It could be a one-time thing, like a broken heirloom, or it could be an ongoing, highly stressful situation. We all have our own highly stressful situations. Therefore, you must prepare for such eventualities. Prepare. It's a key word. You have to prepare for what is Hashem. Prepare for dangerous situations. When I say dangerous, I mean there will be spiritual dangers. You know, we prepare for so much in life. We prepare for a perm suit. You know, I have have anxiety dreams. I come to Shir and I'm not prepared. I have that dream. So Motzei Shabbos was our first time having carpool in a while. It's whatever. It's my anxiety dreams. It's just crazy. But I was dreaming that we were late for carpool. It's my anxiety expressed in different ways. But we prepare for things. No, of course, the alarm said you wake up early. You're not. But we prepare. But it's so interesting. You should prepare for such eventualities. The next time the wind or a person does that, what is my reaction going to be? Try and mentally prepare yourself so that spiritually you're in the right place by striving to internalize. He doesn't say it's easy. He says you strive to internalize the awareness. Hashem alone is running the world during peaceful periods that are free of stress. So you have to first internalize God in this peaceful moment is absolutely in charge. Over and over and over and over. And if you reiterate it over and over, you come to believe it and know so that you're prepared for the more turbulent times. If you do not prepare in this way, then when a stressful situation arises, the inclination is to fly into a rage. And that is extremely powerful. Your ability to judge things impartially will disappear. And it's so interesting. Vayar Haman ki'ein Mordechai korat mishtach velo. Haman saw Mordechai will not bow down or prostrate himself before him. Vayimalei Haman chema. And Haman is filled with rage. But the root of word rage in Hebrew is ches mem, which means chom, hot. He literally became hot under the call. What does it mean to become full of wrath, full of anger? You're so hot, you can't even see any other way. Rage is a state of, you know the expression, isn't expression hot under the collar? It's an English expression to denote anger. But look at Lashon HaKodesh. Chema is cham. A person who is wrath is so hot, he can no longer judge things impartially. That ability to be objective disappears. Even when it returns, the inner anger may be so overpowering, it can prevent you from contemplating the simple truth. It was Hashem who caused this to happen. So I just mentioned Haman, so I want to point out Shani told me something else very nice that I thought was very cool. She said she was thinking of the name Haman, Hey Mem Nun, and the word for Amunah is Aleph Mem Nun. It's almost the same, but it's drastically different. Instead of an Aleph, the Echad of Hashem, the Anochi, Haman is based in the Hey. So I have to think, we have to think, what is the Hey? Rashi mentions the Hey back in the beginning of Bereishis. It's open to the bottom. I think the Rishaim go down with the Hey, but I didn't have time to look up the Rashi. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're referencing, but
yeah, because
all the Aleph
base,
but the
Hey
is
kind of
open.
I want to see if there's a Bereishis. With a Rashi, one second.
I'm trying to remember what reference it was. We just looked at another letter.
Yeah. I found it. Now I have to see which pasuk it is.
I'm not going to look through the whole Bereishis. One second. I think it's by Yom HaShishi. Oh, Yom HaShishi. That's what I just opened to. It's not Yom HaShishi, but it's with a hey. Does anyone know where it is, ladies? The world was... Okay, let's go on. Okay. Haman starts with an aleph, with a hey, not an aleph. He's so close to Muna, but he doesn't have it. And he flies into a rage. He gets hot under the collar. Therefore, first, you should not primarily work on this emunah. Look at that. If you're trying to strive for emunah, don't work on it in difficult times. I think that this is one of the most practical sections of this entire Sefer so far. I think. Don't try and work on emunah. Don't start to work on increasing emunah during difficult times. It's such a difficult time that you have to be omein es hadasa before the hester panim. The rare occurrences disturbs one's ability to sense Hashem that is causing the event due to the financial or other loss involved. Rather, focus on very simple events and work with them. Strengthen your emunah during the easy times, before the going gets tough, so that when the going gets tough, you're strengthened and fortified. Yes?
No, I'm thinking what you're saying is when she was very passive in the beginning, and then she didn't want to do what Mordechai told her to do when he goes, well, that's nice, because if you don't do it, someone else will do it. And this was part of the way you brought her up, and she jumped right in.
Very nice, because she was brought up with the Amunah when the Hester Panim came, she was ready. Very nice, beautiful. Also relates very nicely, she was prepared
for the difficult time. And that's really what the Mechaber is saying. Focus on simple events and work with them. When you move your hand, he's talking about really very simple. When you move your hand, there is no reason other than your inner ego for you to resist the fact that Hashem is the one doing it. You know, I was walking down the stairs carrying the laundry basket after last week's class. For those who were here, we were talking about the fact that my ability to move the top joint with my top knuckle of my pinky, it's from Hashem. I think I'm moving my finger, really Hashem's moving my finger. So, and if Chalila Vachas, you can't move your finger, then anyway, so I was walking the stairs with my laundry basket, and my ankle was hurting. I'm like, I was thinking about our learning. I'm like, why is my ankle hurting? My ankle's hurting. Who's making my ankle hurt? If Hashem doesn't want my ankle, Chas Hashem, to work properly, then I'm not going to be able to walk down the stairs carrying the laundry basket. When you move your hand or your leg or your ankle or your knee, there's no reason other than your inner ego for you to resist the fact that Hashem is the one. There are no other factors that might tend to bias your judgment, such as financial loss or stress. In other words, you can't. Your hand has nothing to do with financial loss or stress. It's just you and Hashem. Therefore, you must work specifically with simple situations for a long time. And from the simple situations, like you lady said, Omenes Hadassah, she is fortified for when the going gets tough. That's just, I'm upset because I can't find the thing with the hay. I know as soon as I turn off this recording and we end class, I'm going to find. Does anyone want to say anything while I'm trying to find this?
Yeah, I had a similar situation today. I opened up, I was making challah, and I can't believe I did this. I touched the rack. That is like the worst burn
ever. Ouch.
2 hours.
The oven rack?
I'm saying to myself, oh my God, I'm in severe pain. I'm not telling anybody, it's my pinky. I go, how insignificant I am. My pinky is in such pain that I could climb. I had to be in ice. I'm walking around with a bowl of water. Yeah. What are you doing?
It's so funny. You see, it's so irrelevant. We were just talking about last week. The tip of your pinky is up to Hashem. Oh, you should have a refuah shleima.
But I knew right away how.
But the strength of your hands comes from that side. So it's almost even more impressive that, like, it's the smallest things and the smaller things, but the smaller, like, day-to-day aspects where the strength and the power come from. It's the small things. It's the small joints, the smallest finger.
Yeah. That's so interesting. The power of your finger and pain that I was in, I said, this is like a bad thing. One little finger, and I can't do without it. And, you know, and the pain was like...
Wait, it might be in the beginning of Parak Beis. Ah.
Wow.
Ah.
No, I had a crazy burn, man, but I prevented it.
I was looking in the wrong place. Okay.
Yeah.
I found the Rashi I was looking for. Thank God. Okay, ladies. I found the Rashi I was looking for. It was in Parak Beis, Pasuk Dalet. And I made a mistake. I was looking in Parak Aleph. Eyala Todos Hashemayim Ve'aretz. These are the offsprings. If you have to leave, I understand. I'm just going to conclude with it because I was looking for it. These are the offsprings or the offsprings of the heavens and the earth. It doesn't mean offsprings of. It means products. Behi Bar'am, when God created them. But the hay in Hi Bar'am is small. Look. If you have to leave, it's okay, I understand. Bihi Baram. These are the products of the heavens and the earth when he created them. And if you look in Bereishis 2:4, the hay is little. We're talking about hay because you pointed out that Haman's name doesn't begin with Aleph, which would be Amen or Amunah, but rather begins with hay. So by Maase Bereishis, these are the products, the offsprings, the byproduct of the heaven and earth, behibar, and when he created them, but with a small hey, on the day that Hashem Elohim made the Eretz Vishamayim. So now Rashi says, okay, 1 second. Behibaram, behibaram, God created with a hey. Shenemer beka Hashem tzur olamim, these 22 letters, and the world was built with a hey. Interesting. That's interesting. Just like the hay is open at the bottom, so too the world is open for those who want to repent. And Olam Haba is created with a yud, that tzaddikim in that time are diminished like yud, she's the smallest letters. It's an illusion that the Rasha'im go down to see Shachas. Kehezo shesasuma mikol tzadeh psucha lamata lerada sham derech sham. So it's the hay is open at the bottom. The world was created with a hay. A few different interpretations. But hay baram, when Hashem created them. Bahashem baram, when Hashem created them through the 22 letters. But it's also open at the bottom. It's closed on all sides. It's open at the bottom that they can go down there. So it's interesting that you pointed out that Haman's name is not created with an aleph, which would be a main, but rather a hay, which gives him the opportunity to bring himself down, down, down. And he did.
Also open to tshuva, because his children
did tshuva. Which is also very interesting. But that part's very strange, because we have a command to wipe out Amalek. Why does the Gemara say they sat in the yeshivas with who? Haman's children sat in the yeshivas with?
But it went to all
his
sons who got killed.
Yeshivas in Bnei Brak. Yeshivas Bnei Brak. So isn't that interesting? One second. Listen, ladies. Lamdacha Khan. Let's finish with this. It's amazing. Sha'olam hazan nivra behei. Kamo shahahei pesuch alamata. Kacha olam pasuach l'shavim b'tshuva. So another aspect, hay is open at the bottom. Maybe it's not to fall, but it's to come back up to those who want to repent, like the Bnei Haman who did teshuva.
And also Bnei Yisrael that did teshuva because of Haman.
Yeah, I just quoted that today in class.
Why did Bnei Yisrael did teshuva because of Haman?
Well, we just talked about
it. 1 second. Oh, I don't have it here. The Medrash says, no, the Gemara. The Gemara says clearly that the 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os that were sent were not as effective as Haman, because none of our prophets were able to return us Lemutav like Haman, who returned us to Teshuvah. So you could say that it was the impetus of the hay of Haman that actually returned us to Teshuvah and God saved us. We should be Zocha to pursue the Ribbono Shel Olam always, to have Amunah, but be Zocha to Yediyah. And we should all be merit a very freilich and simcha filled Purim for all of Knesset Yisrael, wherever they are. B'nai Hapachu should be ours. Thank you so much for very nice insights this evening. Thank you, ladies.